The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
Headwack is the thing that makes you kind of go, don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And now I find out I have a weird headphone intermittent connection problem. Great time to find out. Welcome to the Computer Corner. Our 3,751st edition. I don't actually know what number it is. We've been here for more than a decade helping you with your computer consternation, your technology troubles, your gadget frustrations, whatever it is. I don't know. And we're here to help you today and talk to you today about computers and technology. And we've got some extra special help here in the studio. I'm not the extra special help. I'm just the guy that pushes a few buttons and helps carry the show along. But to my right, Brian Ellison. He's in charge of our small and medium-sized business customers in our Data Doctors world out there. And he's here to help take us through the show because we got some things that impact business we're going to talk about today and things that impact non-business world as well. And for those out there that are starting to converge or switch over or change over or maybe
jump ship.
Consider the alternatives. We've got Louis Georges with Mac Media here in studio to help us with all the Mac fans. Hey, thanks guys both for jumping in and helping out today.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, thanks a lot.
Today we're talking about the end, the beginning. I don't know if it's the beginning, the end, whatever it is. But for Bill Gates, no longer the guy, the chief software architect, the guy at the head over at Microsoft. He's stepped down. And his last official day of being the man, so to speak, was Friday. That was yesterday, right?
Yeah, that was yesterday.
So today he's a free man.
Mm-hmm. Well, now he's doing that word that is so difficult to pronounce.
Doing the what? Philanthropy.
There you go.
Philanthropist.
I give up trying to say that word.
Phil?
Yeah.
That's like this is like with my four-year-old daughter. Phil Lanthropy.
Nice job.
Not that tough.
Very good.
All right.
From now on, they're just called Phils.
Phils, that's right.
Phils. He's doing the Bill and Melissa Gates Foundation thing.
Right, that's exactly right.
So it's not that he's not working, and I'm sure he'll still be fairly engaged at Microsoft. He has a pretty big interest in it.
So, you know, do we actually think that that's going to be a positive or negative thing?
What, your phone ringing and you forgetting to put it on silent? Or?
Totally. That would be exactly what I was talking about.
Dang, I thought you were a professional here.
Man, obviously not. That just goes to show how professional I'm not.
So we're going to do a little bit of walking back through history and reflecting on the past of Mr. Bill Gates. What does that mean for the future of Microsoft? And what does that mean for the today of Microsoft? Some people are still freaking out about the recent realization slash announcement slash whatever you want to call it, that Windows XP is no longer available, or is it? So I'm sure there's people out there that are thinking about, gosh, you know, back to school's not that far off. My machine's a few years old. I might be replacing it. Can I really find XP out there anymore? Do I care? What about Windows Vista? What about maybe I just service my old thing? Maybe I buy a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's all kinds of choices out there. So we can talk about those things. We can talk about Service Pack 3. It's now been out for, a month and a half, almost 2 months. Is it time? Is it okay? Maybe we want to get onto the world of browsers. Firefox 3, now out of beta, now it's a real product. It's become pretty much overnight in the few days since its product launch. The number of people downloading it and adopting it, I think it's on track to hold the record for the fastest adoption of a new version of a program of all time.
I believe it was from day one, wasn't it? As far as browsers?
Yeah, browsers in general, but now that it's even this move from version 2 to version 3, which is a pretty significant jump if you've played with the new version 3 stuff, and now it's no longer in that beta, and there have been a couple of problems, but they've already got some quick fixes out for those few problems that did exist. But people are downloading it left and right. They're not waiting. They're not taking their time. It's being adopted faster than just about anything, and certainly faster than Windows Vista. So there's that out there. Of course, Safari, if we want to mix in the Mac side of things, Safari was, in my book, was kind of counted out a while back, but they're coming back with guns blazing.
Well, they've got Safari for Windows as well. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I've heard really good things about the Safari 3, the new stuff that it actually performs pretty well. And
you said last week, I think, wasn't it last week, you were going to actually download it and try it and stick with it for 7 days. How'd that go, Brandon?
You weren't supposed to.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
It's on my list of things to accomplish.
I actually did do it, so that's okay.
Yeah, so we could talk about that. I'm sure Lewis would be at least an expert, if not more than an expert, on that topic. We can talk about wherever you want to take the conversation. We got lines for you, 602-277-5827. In fact, there's only one of those lines available because some of you jumped in early, which is smart.
It's because they heard Lewis was here.
They heard Lewis. They thought, oh,
Mac.
There's a couple Mac Notons out there, and they thought, now is my time. I can jump in. I'm jumping in, and yes, if ever there were a time that you had questions about the world of Mac, maybe you have a Mac and you have frustrations and issues, maybe you're thinking about going to that side, we've got the guy that is the guy when we need to know that we call. So definitely the guy that you can trust, and we'll steer you right here in studio. And we're going to try to mix him in over the next few weeks, months. Who knows? Maybe we'll turn it into a regular date.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
He's getting sucked into the dark side already.
I can
feel the pull.
He's been in the dark side for a long time.
As long as you don't ask him if he's your father or something.
You go ahead. 602-277-5827, or you can join us online, datadoctors.com/radio, or if that slash thing just isn't working for you, just click where it says radio show, and you'll find your way to the resources we have posted today. Coming up in the show in just a little bit, Geek Speak of the Week, Head Whack of the Week. We have some tips. We have cool information on our newsletter we're going to talk about, and of course, your calls, your questions, and talking about Bill Gates going bye-bye. Does this actually signal anything real? I think a lot of people...
Well, I mean, it is reminiscent of when Steve Jobs left Apple, and he came back, so he was needed desperately, and it worked very well.
But Steve Jobs, I think, in the Apple world, mm-hmm. he held a much different kind of position than Bill. I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of big companies are run by people who don't understand the thing that they're charged with running. As a great example, a lot of people who manage, and let's just stick with the management role for a second, mm-hmm. Manage a business, a technology-based business, really don't have any idea about how the technology works, that their guys are and their people under them are faced with improving and building.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely not the case with Bill Gates.
Right.
He was a guy that was in... He understood the code side of things.
Right.
He understood how to drive the business. I mean, he was kind of a freak.
Mm-hmm.
Well, definitely well-rounded.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
And so he's a little bit different than your typical head CEO, C-level kind of guy where...
Ballmer.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Steve Ballmer reminds me a little bit more, though, of Steve Jobs, where they're both sort of the brand evangelists and the vision guys and the... Yeah, I don't know. So this
I think this will actually impact Microsoft.
With a hint of insanity.
Well, a hint, maybe more than a hint in some cases. But maybe there is a door left open for a return at some point if there is any kind of substantial impact. And a lot of people are saying that there could be a decent impact with Mr. Gates stepping aside. So we'll talk about those things. And, of course, we've got, I think, one line left, 602-277-5827. But in the meantime, we're going to get you caught up with traffic and weather. And for that, it's Ms. Carla Cruz in the KTR Traffic Center. Carla. Welcome back to the Computer Corner.
Are you feeling a little suicidal there, Brandon?
No.
Oh, okay.
Every time we go to the break, I mean, before the show started, I got these headphones all set, adjusted to the level I like. Everything's cool. Mm-hmm. I put them on.
And they
show
out on
as soon as they go on air, this right thing keeps cutting out. If I hold it right there, it's perfect. You know how frustrating and annoying
I do. I love every second of it. Watching you play with that.
All right. We're going to go with one ear. And it's the ear I don't hear as well out of. I just admitted that on
what?
Air now. Right. Anyway, I'm a professional. I'm going to just carry on as if nothing's happening.
Well, at least your phone wasn't on.
This sounds like a bad cell phone connection. In my ear is going... It's sweet.
Good to know.
Yeah, so if you want to get engaged in the show, we've got resources posted for you online, datadoctors.com/radio. Of course, when you hear someone hang up, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. That's the number you can dial to jump in, just like Bill did. Bill, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Good morning. I appreciate you taking my call.
You bet.
It may be coincidental, but about the time my internet service provider switched the security suite to McAfee, if I leave my computer for an hour or so and come back to it and it's in semi-sleep mode, it takes me 5 or 6 tries to connect to any server, whether it's my email or internet, and finally it will connect.
So this is only, your machine kind of goes to sleep when you haven't played with it for a while, and it's only right. on wake up that it's taking a little too long for some of the parts to wake up?
Correct.
Okay. Well, and this started happening, you said, when your ISP, you downloaded their new security suite stuff.
Wasn't my choice, but it got done for me, yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, certainly it can be a coincidence, but I think it's probably not a bad place to start looking to see if possibly there's something there with respect to probably the firewall. And so if it's the typical McAfee suite that the ISPs give you, it's about 84 products, of which you need 2, but they load it up to make your machine really run really awesome. And you might start by disabling that firewall, especially if your internet provider, if between your cable modem and your PC, if there's some kind of firewall like a router, you've already got pretty decent firewall protection in place there. So you might start by disabling that, see if the problem goes away. If so, then that thing's just gotten a little too aggressive. The other possibility is that some machines, when they go into that kind of sleep mode, in order to conserve power, quote-unquote, the network cards are designed to go to sleep. Now, I'm not a super genius when it comes to knowing about all the components of a computer, but I'm guessing that that network card doesn't consume a whole lot of power, and that's something that can actually be disabled in the device manager. And so
this never happened before. If I walk up, sit down at the computer, and I try to connect, it's instant connection.
And it's always had this hibernate mode or the sleep mode that's been, I mean, you haven't changed anything with the power management at all?
Nope.
Okay, well then, again, it can be a coincidence, but I would start with the newly upgraded antivirus, anti-spyware, blender, slicer, dicer, firewall, and everything else package.
Okay.
And start disabling a couple of components. Again, the most likely would be your firewall.
Okay. And don't know if it's related at all. If I'm working on the internet and I have my Outlook email closed, I will get the ding that there's new mail coming in.
Yeah, so if... So there are a lot of things that can cause that. Outlook, you think, is closed, but there's something that's trapped it open. Oftentimes, for example, I have they call it a smartphone, but some people would argue with that because it's a Trio. It's got a little program that keeps it synchronized with my Outlook. And even if I close Outlook, because that program is in charge of keeping that synchronization done, it's in the background got Outlook open kind of silently, keeping everything synchronized. So the same can be said for all kinds of other things, not just smartphones and PDAs, but there may be plug-in programs, even that new antivirus, anti-spyware, if they put in some kind of anti-spam or something like that, it could be kind of in between the email trying to silently check everything that comes in, keeping Outlook open. So those are all possibilities there. I don't think I would get necessarily real worried about that, because that's a fairly normal thing. But if you wanted to dig into it, I would look at those kind of areas to see if you have any programs like that or any devices like that that would be trying to share that Outlook.
Okay. I appreciate the help. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks for the call, Bill. With that, we freed up a line, 602-277-5827. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some things that are Mac-related. Why? Well, because we don't have Lewis here just every day. So we might as well take advantage of the time we got. And now is the time. If you've got questions about Mac stuff, you've got problems with your Mac, you're thinking about buying a Mac, or you want to know about some ways you could try out the Mac world without necessarily having to own one, there are options there too. 602-277-5827 or online at datadoctors.com/radio. It's the Computer Corner. We'll be back right after the news. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about the 30 years of Microsoft with Bill Gates at the helm. It's now come to an end. He's still involved, obviously, but focusing most of his time and efforts on trying to fight diseases throughout the world through his Bill and Melissa Gates Foundation. And we thought, since it's impacted pretty much everybody who's listening's lives, and certainly our lives, that we talk a little bit about how some of those things impacted. And we've got plenty of resources listed for you, lots of old interviews. If you want to see Bill Gates from the old days, the new days, and anything in between, datadoctors.com/radio, scroll down to the This Week's Links section, and you'll see all those interviews, some interesting stuff there. There's also a link that talks about Microsoft's biggest hits and misses. Pretty cool. Talks about the early beginnings when Mr. Gates dropped out of this little school called Harvard.
Yeah.
Because he got a deal with this weird company out in New Mexico. And his buddy, his high school friend, Paul Allen, he got agreed to help him out on creating an operating system. The first operating system that Microsoft really jumped into, which was a big hit, Microsoft DOS.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still there today, hidden underneath the pretty shell of Windows that we look at.
For a whopping $50,000.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
But it was a usable, functional, very easy to use for the time operating system, and that was the first big hit that kind of started things. Obviously, years later, Windows came out about 5 years later,
mm-hmm.
and it was Windows version 3. That was the first kind of retail version that hit the streets. And then again, another 5 years later, the next big hit, Windows 95. In between, there were other versions of things.
Yeah, 3.1 or whatever. Yeah.
But his first three kind of attempts at things were all hits, all things that, again, we live with today. Yep. Anybody on your computer you have right now, if you click Start and go find in the All Program section Command Prompt, what you're looking at is DOS. Where it all started. That's DOS, right? Yep. And it's still underneath there as the bare kind of shell underneath it all. And on top of it sits Windows. And we just talked about the first two big iterations that were hits. The next wasn't such a big hit. It was OS 2. And but he was smart enough to take and make lemonade out of lemons, sold off what wasn't a success to IBM to let them run, and then stole the same technology and built later Windows NT, which is at the core of the operating systems we run today. In fact, Windows 2000, which was not that far ago, less than a decade ago, according to my count,
yep.
It actually, when it booted up, it would say built on NT technology.
Right.
So kind of promoting the fact that it was from that era. And certainly the Windows XP that we run today, and maybe for some of you, Windows Vista is just another extension of all that. So,
you know, the technology is actually pretty cool and how he did it. But really, to me, the behind the scenes of how he was able to accomplish and the business decisions that, you know, affected basically how he controlled that world at the very beginning, and having the relationships with his mom being on the IBM board and, mm-hmm. you know, leasing DOS to them. Just those moves and having that kind of vision is something even still today that I admire. I respect that a lot. Just the foresight for that guy is amazing.
Well, that's kind of where Apple went wrong.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, but they've certainly got a lot of people's attention in the last few years.
Innovation, baby.
Well, they've really turned themselves into a software company more than just a hardware company, which
right.
it used to be primarily hardware with the right. OS on top of it, but now it's more of a software company.
Yeah, right. And I think if there's a company out there that's really known for innovation, they are it. I mean, for them to jump into the phone market, the cell phone market, with absolutely no experience, no history whatsoever, and come out with the biggest hit as far as cell phones are concerned, probably in history of cell phones, on their first try. It's impressive.
But they've become, I think, the guys when you want to go find someone who can build a slick interface.
Yeah.
Everybody tries to copy what they do. I mean, if you look at they created the thing that we know throughout now the world as the iPod, even though it's really an MP3 player,
mm-hmm.
and all other companies. That's the standard to which they try to build and shoot for, and not
sure.
just the kind of sleek look from the hardware standpoint. It's kind of sexy hardware, but then the interface.
Yeah.
It's intuitive. It just makes sense. And I think the interesting thing about the iPhone, I heard a statistic the other day that smartphones, the segment that's growing the fastest, it's among women. And,
yeah.
and traditionally, you would think men are the kind of gadget mm-hmm. freaks, but I think that the iPhone, a lot of iPhone sales are going to be driven by women who want technology, but they want it simple. They don't want to have to think about how they're going to make it work. They just want it to work the way they think, And that's what Apple's is.
And it's aesthetically pleasing.
Well, yeah.
Those are the two. You're right. I mean, it's the two major components. It is aesthetically pleasing and it's intuitive. It's amazing.
What's a strange thing is in the same package, it's aesthetically pleasing for both women and men because it's cool.
Yep.
And it's cute.
Yeah.
And somehow it's both at the same time, right?
Yeah.
And you can accessorize.
That is true.
Well, yeah. And Lewis actually, you added a whole sideshow to your Mac Media location up there at Arrowhead, right? Where it's a whole store just built on accessories for iPhones, iPods.
Yeah, there is about 1,000+ iPod accessories in that store, and you can
bling your iPod, baby.
That's awesome.
I didn't think it was realistic when we put it together, and then I looked at the walls and I said, "Oh my, I can't believe there are so many iPod accessories out there."
You filled a separate store with just iPod and iPhone accessories.
Well, and the brilliant thing about that, doing that, is that you have a corner on that market because most retailers will carry a case or go in there and you have the plethora, right, of everything you could choose from for the iPod.
A selection you can touch and feel and look at
completely.
All right there, not just online, like, oh, well, which one of these things do I want? You can go see it. That's pretty simple.
Like a kid in the candy store.
Oh, it is. My daughter and I go in there and we're just like, oh, look at the toys. It's awesome.
If you want to see some of the resources, some of the links, some of the info talking about Mr. Gates and the farewell, again, it's posted online, datadoctors.com/radio. We'll continue to talk about that as the show progresses, but let's jump back in on the phones and see if we can help more people out. We've got a couple of people with Mac-related issues and things. So let's
Mac problems, I don't believe it.
There's Dean here who has some problems with video conferencing, and it says something about a Mac. Dean, welcome.
Well, hey, welcome, guys. First of all, kudos to your Ahwatukee store because I was having some Wi-Fi problems with my HP laptop about a month ago and went into the store, and in about 5 minutes the guy just looked at it and said, oh, you got two different finders on your machine, we'll just take one off, and it worked fine, and went over to the grocery store and was able to email my wife and told her my computer was fixed thanks to Data Doctors.
Good, it's always
glowing
good
endorsement. That's
there's
fantastic.
There's my endorsement. I haven't had any problems with my Mac machines except for one little compatibility issue. My father bought his first ever computer about 6 months ago, and he picked up a 24-inch iMac, which is great because of the big screen. He can
gorgeous.
See everything and use it. And I have an older iMac and running an older OS, and I decided, you know what, if I want to try something with my dad, I better buy a laptop. So I bought a MacBook with the new OS simply because it had a built-in camera and it had iChat. And within probably 20 minutes, we were able to do video conferencing with my dad and my daughter. So now every night he can get on his computer and ring my daughter, and I can bring the laptop anywhere in the house, including into the bedroom, and he can read her a story at bedtime while she's in bed. It's the greatest thing in the world, and we thought this would be great if we could video conference with her cousins and friends across the country. But they don't have Macs. They've got PCs. And we're trying to find out what would be compatible with Apple's iChat so that we could do video conferencing with people on PCs.
You can use AOL Instant Messenger for the Windows, and that should be plenty compatible with the Mac side of things, and you should be able to video and audio chat with them.
Okay, now would that mean that the PC user, let's say in Orlando, Florida, which happens to be where my cousin lives, if he were to just simply install AOL, he would, and if he has a camera, we would be able to do my dot Mac screen name, and we would be able to do it that way. Or would I also have to download AOL or another software in addition to iChat?
No, you're fine with iChat. They don't want to download AOL. They want AIM.
AIM. Okay.
Yeah, let's back you down one notch, because if you get AOL, it's a whole other world of things. You just need the instant messenger.
Been there, done that, guys.
Yeah.
About
good.
13 years ago, I actually met my wife in a chat room on America Online.
Wow.
So that's another story completely.
They have 12-step programs for guys like you.
But fortunately it worked out well.
Congratulations.
We got an adorable 6-year-old girl who knows how to get on the internet, and It's amazing. You know, if you guys haven't done one already, you should do a kids show and talk about some of the kids' websites, not only things like Disney.com, but like Webkinz and some of the other sites. There, it would be a really good show for you guys to do for a whole episode.
Now, you know what? That's actually a great idea.
It is brilliant.
My 6-year-old son is in the studio now. He's here for most shows.
But he's got earmuffs on.
He's just quiet, and he just does his thing over on the side there. But I wonder if I could get him.
I'll bet you could.
I know the stuff that he's into, but coming from a 6-year-old, it might, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, one other thing about Apple and their innovation, we've got tons of iPods. That's great that I can win them from work so I don't have to buy them. But,
nice.
The long and short of it is, because of the innovation that they had, you know, they didn't have to come out with the iPod Touch, and now that the iPhone is priced so low, I've got a feeling they're going to, and they're running a college promotion right now for, they're basically giving away iPod Touches if you're in college, and I'm thinking they're getting rid of the inventory because they're planning something pre-holiday for the iPod Touch, and I don't know if this is going to work or not technologically, but I just mentioned iChat with the built-in camera. If they could find a way to put a camera in an iPod Touch and put in iChat as a software so that if you're at a coffee shop or you're at the library or someplace with Wi-Fi, you could do video conferencing on a little portable unit like that, everybody and their grandmother would buy one.
Well, I'd like to see that with a new phone. So
yeah, no kidding. It's huge.
I think you're going to see those changes soon, and there's going to be a lot of innovative applications out there with the with the new launch and the version 2.0 of the software, so it's gonna be pretty exciting.
Hey, one other thing, because I do have this HP laptop here, if I go out and buy just a standard USB camera and then go ahead and get a AIM screen name, I should be okay.
In theory,
yeah,
okay. Should work just fine.
Good. Yep. I'll try it out. If it doesn't work, I'll take it to your Awatuki store and see if they can help me out.
Hey, there you go.
Hey, we appreciate the call, the endorsement. We really appreciate that, Dean. Thanks.
You're welcome, guys. Keep it the good work.
Thanks.
I will tell you that has been the first and only time I've ever gotten the video conferencing to actually work is when I finally bought a Mac. Swear to God. They have a down pat.
Part of that could be you, which is really the
that
power
is exactly
of the Mac.
Why I bought the Mac.
Right.
Simple machines for simple minds.
Yes, there you go.
When we're talking about Brian, he's the king or queen of that. So, speaking of the king or queen, it's the queen of traffic and weather. That's how we roll here at KTAR, and specifically, that's how Carla Cruz rolls when she's talking about traffic on the freeways. Carla. New headphones. So much better. Thank you, Pete. It's Pete. They call him Peter the Great and Peter the Dragon, which I don't think either is super flattering. I'm just going to stick with straight Pete. He's the guy responsible for engineering the show and making sure technically things go right. And he just brought me headphones that work. And it's like I'm a whole new man.
Must be a philanthropist.
You can say that word. You're going to have to teach Brian off air.
Nah, not doing it.
Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about all kinds of things. We've interwoven into the farewell to Bill Gates tour. And we've got resources posted for you online at datadoctors.com/radio. By the way, while you're there, if you'd like, you can subscribe to our newsletter. You'll find it to be ad-free, commercial-free, spam-free, just free of all kinds of bad things, and, of course, free of charge, and has lots of good things, tips, tricks, head wax, news items, gives you a little preview of what's coming up on that week's radio show, all kinds of stuff there. So subscribe to that thing, and I promise you won't hate it. And if you do, well, that's easy enough to unsubscribe from. And we're some of the good guys that when you tell us stop sending it, we actually do. So,
just out of curiosity, do you have on that on the newsletter, did we link the page that shows the startup photo of all the folks from Microsoft and then the Today photo?
That's actually in the resources for today's radio show.
Good.
So there is a picture
priceless.
That was taken back in the day, so to speak, of the original crew.
The Wolfgangs.
Yeah, and they got all but one, and only the one they couldn't get because he's no longer around. But they got all of them and got them back in the same pose and took a picture, a Today version.
Right.
And they have a side-by-side, and it's a pretty cool sight.
It's hilarious.
So that's posted there. It's one of the resources. We were talking about some of Microsoft's big hits and misses. You guys remember Microsoft Bob?
Actually, I can't say that I do.
Microsoft Bob was a... they were having... this was back in the heyday of people getting online and a lot of people buying PC is 1995, right? So it's going nuts out there in the world. Windows 95 has just launched, and it's probably one of the biggest successes Microsoft had seen at that point in the Windows operating system, which was their big thing. They had a few years prior combined Word, Excel, and a couple other programs and launched this thing called Office, which they didn't really expect to do very well, and it still accounts for probably more than 30% of their annual revenue.
Right.
So it's a big, big deal for them. They got feedback by doing a bunch of consumer focus groups and testing and things that because a lot of users were new to computers or didn't spend a lot of time with them, that computers were intimidating. And so if they could somehow, they did what they tried to do what Apple is famous for, right? They tried to make it simple and intuitive.
Right.
But they created this program that loaded on top of Windows so that not everybody had to have this. But if you wanted, you could buy this program called Microsoft Bob that turned your desktop into like a looked like something like an animated kind of cartoon. And it would help you and guide you. And they had this little character that would guide you through everything. And it was a big flop. I mean, they dropped it in less than a year. Most consumers thought that it was either just way too cutesy and...
It was like Bob the Builder.
I mean, it was seriously cartoonish.
Yeah.
And people felt like it was condescending. It was talking down to them. It was treating them like they were idiots. And so the thing completely flopped. Mm. Microsoft poured a ton of dough into it. And it was a big miss.
So they just used that for the little characters
exactly.
that you get in Office?
Yeah, the paperclip.
The paperclip and the little helpers.
Well, see,
That's where it came from, right?
Yeah, it came out of that. They had put Clippy and
right.
the dog and all those guys in, and people liked that in the early days of Office because it helped. It was something you could turn off. And so they took that and decided, let's take it to the next level. Let's turn the whole computer into that.
Sure.
And they just went way overboard with cutesy, and
right.
it was no good.
Because it was funny, because both Lewis and I were kind of stumped by Bob, and then all of a sudden it was like, I know where
and
we're
it was
going.
It was a $100 upgrade, which is a lot of dough to spend for a little cartoon package.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
Anyway, Microsoft Bob, a flop. Obviously, lots more hits and misses, and we could talk about those as the show progresses. We'll talk about some of the other resources and some of the past and future things, possibly, for Microsoft and Mr. Gates. Of course, your calls, your questions about not only Windows things, but Mac-based things, too, because we do have Louis Georges with Mac Media here in studio. And room for your calls and questions, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. Stick around through the news, because we got more coming up.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
Thanks for hanging through the break, and welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about, I don't know what we're talking about. We're doing our own little Computer Corner farewell to Mr. Bill Gates, in case you didn't hear. Friday was his last day on the job as a full-time employee, or really the head of Microsoft over the last 30 years. He's stepped down, stepped aside, let some fresh folks step in and help guide the company, and he's off to do other things. We were talking a little bit about some of the big hits and misses over the years. You guys remember August 1995?
As a matter of fact, yes.
Big, big new product. You want to enhance Windows. You want to make it better and cooler and customize your interface. It's none other than Microsoft Plus.
Yeah.
The big deal with Plus is it came with what was a joke at the time but would later become the standard, Internet Explorer.
Ooh.
That's included in the Plus pack. Microsoft gets into the browser game, and eventually it cost them about $100 million a year to kind of keep up with the Joneses and later surpass the Joneses, but then they got themselves in a lot of heat later with some lawsuits and things. And so they're still obviously in that game. The latest version that people run today, Internet Explorer 7.
Yep.
I think overall a pretty decent browser. It's probably one of the most widely used, mostly because it comes with it, but... because it also, obviously, they've learned that there's some competition out there, and they better make that thing perform properly, or people will drop it. And drop it they did in the last version, version 6, people were a mass exodus to Firefox and other things, and so they had to strengthen their game a little bit, and they came back with Internet Explorer 7 and brought in a lot of the popular features, at least to keep people around. So,
well, for us Mac users, they dropped us a long time ago.
Yeah,
yeah,
no kidding.
They kicked you to the curb, what, version 4-ish? Was that
it? Was 5.1, I think, the last one.
Yeah.
It was horrible, too. It was just...
It never really worked out in that Mac world.
And Apple said hello to Safari, and Microsoft said goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So Microsoft's next big thing in February of 97, this is something, one I didn't even remember, Actimates. They decided to get into the hardware business, but not in the way you'd think. They went and licensed some characters from PBS.
Like a Transformer?
No, they licensed Barney and the Teletubbies. If you can pick worse things out there, well, I dare you to. So they licensed that, decided to put some technology inside of these little mushy dolls that would then sit in front of your kids, and when they would do things that were right, if they would give right answers to questions, then it would encourage them with yippee and, you know, whatever, and giggles. And, you know, parents never bought them. They were just over $100 for these little toys that would giggle at your kids. And kids, they didn't really ever do the whole focus group thing and see if kids actually cared. Because kids didn't like the toys. They were either frightened by them or thought they were pretty hokey. And so they were trying to pull off what are those Furbies?
Oh, God.
They were trying to pull that off, but obviously a Furby was like $12. This was $100.
Yeah.
A Furby did 10 times more than what this did, and I don't think kids were too freaked out about the Furby. They were annoying.
I was freaked out by the Furbies.
My mother-in-law loves the Furbies, and she actually gave us a couple, and they now reside at her home.
Oh.
We had some for a while, and I would walk through the house, and I'd know, yippee, whoa, that's got to go.
See, you thought you were alone, and there was that Furby squawking in the background.
Yeah, well, and you could pair them, and they would talk to each other and carry on a conversation, and I swear to God.
When you think about the technology stuffed inside that little ball of fuzz, and all the things, I mean, it would wiggle its little ears, it could move its mouth open and close its eyes.
It was intuitive. It actually learned to communicate with you.
It had something that sensed if it was upside down or not, right? And it had sensors to figure out if you were touching it in certain places. You could talk to it, and it would talk back, and it would learn. And a lot of technology packed in that little ball of fuzz.
I know that mine had a good sensor to when it threw it against the wall. It continued to talk for a while.
Yippee!
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was trying to dial the phone number to call out and get rescued or something. I don't know.
That's not a Microsoft thing. We just got off on a tangent there. I don't know how. Furbies,
completely.
The evil of the world.
It's the Chia Pet of living organization. Horrible things.
Should we jump back on
please.
The phones?
Let's
we can. I think Robert's been hanging out there for quite a while. We appreciate you hanging on so long, Robert. How can we help?
It's my pleasure. Hey, a quick shout-out to your Pinnacle Peak store. I bought a laptop there a while back, and the folks there just couldn't have been nicer. It was great.
Did you deal with a British gentleman named Steve?
I did indeed.
Yeah, he's been around the organization for, maybe a decade or so. He's in various capacities all over, and he's bounced around from different stores to different stores, but wherever he goes, he has quite a following, and he's quite a guy. So.
Yeah, we had a great experience with him.
Hey, thanks for that, Robert.
Here's my problem. My dad is 90 years old. That's not the problem. But as a hobby, he writes little songs, and they're funny and kind of parodies of old tunes. So I was videotaping him, and I wanted to send the video to some family members. So I opened up Outlook, attached the file, which was at about 80 megs.
Ooh.
I probably should have known that was a little too big to pass through the pipe. And anyway, I went to send it, and it has just clogged my Outlook outbox.
It's stuck forever, and nothing else will go, right?
And now it's saying sending message 1 of 14, and it'll say that until it just gives me the error message.
Yes.
And I have cleaned out the outbox. I have cleaned out everything I can think of. I have reinstalled the software. I have tried everything, and I'm totally stumped.
All right, this is an easy one. You're gonna either laugh at how easy it is or curse Microsoft for not making it more obvious.
Probably the latter, but go ahead.
Yes. So it, when something gets stuck in your outbox, if you try to just delete it, it doesn't actually go away, and usually it visually won't go away either. What you have to do, because it's in the process of trying to send, even if you think it goes away, it comes back, and so you have to stop it from sending. And if you look in the lower right hand corner. While it's down there saying sending, and it's attempting to do what it knows it can't do already.
Yeah, right now it's saying sending message 1 of 14 and there's nothing in the box.
Right. If you click on that and stop that process, there should be an option to stop. You might have to double-click it, whatever it is, but it should bring up a details, and you can stop it.
Okay.
Once it's stopped, go into your outbox, highlight everything that's there, and delete it. But you got to make sure that in the lower right-hand corner, there, it's not trying to do anything. It has to be stopped.
So it says cancel, send, receive.
Yes, that's what we want to do.
All right, I've canceled, send, receive. Now,
quickly.
Quickly into the outbox.
We need exciting action music.
There are no items to show in this view.
Oh, no.
You thought it was easy, see? It's the me factor. It's because it's me.
Do you have antivirus or any spyware software? And specifically, do you have some of the newer stuff that tries to insert itself as what they call a proxy, meaning that it goes from your outbox to this software that then sends on behalf of Outlook?
Not that I know of. I use McAfee, antivirus, and I've got AOL anti-spyware, the automatic one. And I don't know
I'm
of
so
any
sorry.
Others that might be interfering.
First, I'm sorry. Second, I'm guessing that one of those two guys is somehow holding on to the mail that you can't see anymore, and it's stuck out there trying to go out.
Uh-huh.
I off the top of my head, I don't know exactly what to tell you to do, but I would.
I think that guy Steve may want to be involved in the repair.
Tell you what, Robert.
You got to take it into the store.
I'm running up against a hand signal that I can't repeat on the air coming from Pete, which tells me that I need to go to a quick break. So I'm going to put you on hold.
Thank you.
I'm going to bring you back off the air. We'll talk through a couple of options for you. And in the meantime, Carla Cruz, the queen of traffic, is going to talk you through a couple of options on how to avoid the jam-ups out there on the freeways. Carla? Trying to help Robert off the air, jump back in here.
We're just juggling.
But we're making some progress with Robert. Robert, you just sit tight right where you're at, because we're gonna slay this dragon.
That's a doozy.
That's craziness.
It is. That's absolutely ridiculous. Why it actually was deleted out of the outbooks and how that happened. That's the interesting part.
I don't know. We're gonna keep working with him, but we're gonna do that off the air because it's gonna be a little painful, I think, to listen to for the rest of the world. But we're gonna jump to some other people that have been holding for a long, long time. Up next is Mark, who wants to know about can I use this browser and that simultaneously, Mark?
This should be pretty quick. I got my PC, and like the other billion PCs, it comes with Internet Explorer. I couldn't tell you which version, but I downloaded Firefox. I'm using it great. Can I just leave Internet Explorer and the icon and everything there? Just, I want to keep it in case something blows up that I can still access it. In case something blows up with Firefox.
Exactly. Yes,
so,
you can do exactly what you want to do, and I highly recommend you do that.
I don't. So even though the icon, everything's still on my desktop, it's not actually running until I click on it.
Yes, sir.
Very good. I just didn't want any viruses coming through there while I'm not really using it, so it's not open, running in the background with other programs.
Yeah, viruses don't come to your computer, generally speaking. Well, generally speaking, without. I mean, let's just back up a big step. Most virus infections are self-inflicted gunshot wounds, meaning there's things that you do to cause it. And the big ones I think people know about, don't open attachments, especially if they're from people you know. Obviously, there's some caveats there, but if you want to be real safe, you don't open attachments.
I got a quick related question. In a couple months, I'll be buying the new BlackBerry that's coming out. Should there be virus software installed on that for the same protection that I would have my computer if I'm going to access the Internet?
I'm going to let Brian and Lewis weigh in here too, but I'll throw out my opinion, and it's just that, it's an opinion. For your smartphone, and I don't care if it's the Palm version, the Windows version, the CrackBerry version, or the whatever version, I don't feel that antivirus stuff is necessary on those platforms. You guys?
Go ahead, Lewis.
I just blow it out if anything happens.
Exactly. So here's what I would tell you. If you're going to be utilizing the BlackBerry server and actually backing up or having a second copy of your contacts and all that kind of information, if you're utilizing the BlackBerry for that, if you're backing it up, no. Because then all you do is a hard reset, comes back to factory good, and
it
syncs with your BlackBerry server, and you're done. You're back up and running.
Just push all that information back on.
Hey, Mark, before you take the CrackBerry plunge, have you looked at all at the iPhone lately?
Well, I'm looking at the new Bold. Have you heard of it? You must have heard of it by now.
Oh, yes.
That's where I'm going with because of the Wi-Fi and the 3G. And I'm a Verizon. I love my Verizon.
Oh, if you're a Verizon guy, then your choices become limited, so that makes more sense. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. Thanks for the call. Bye.
That is always an interesting question because we get that quite a bit about phones and do we need to protect them and this, that, and the other.
There are some sort of corporate security policies that they require their users, if they're going to participate at all in network and VPN and this and that, to have very specific things. If that's your case, then you don't need to ask our advice because your IT guy is going to dictate anyway.
Exactly.
But in general, I don't run any kind of virus or spyware, any kind of protection like that on my phone. I'm sure neither of you guys do. And I don't even think I know anybody that does.
Yeah.
I don't even know where I get the software from if I was going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never really looked into it.
No. I've had one experience where somebody loaded this supposedly fantastic new software for a Windows-based phone that was supposed to revolutionize and prevent me from wanting an iPhone. And
right.
Turned out to be the biggest polished turd I ever put on my phone.
It was awesome?
Oh, it was horrible. And wow. I finally got that actually uninstalled completely from my phone. But that's the closest thing to a virus, and that was definitely a self-inflicted gunshot wound by actually you.
You need to be more careful. You take technology.
I don't trust
advice
you
from.
Anymore. Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
that was a horrible program.
Again, going back to what Lewis and I were discussing earlier, it's probably less about the technology and more about the human trying to drive things.
But, most certainly.
You know. Thanks for that.
Anytime, Brandon.
The public outing right here.
Hey, but, well, never mind. We're not going backwards. Go forwards.
Who's next? I'm trying to do juggling math here to figure out.
Do you have time?
Say.
Come on.
If I do, then Pete's going to throw daggers at me through his eyeballs. And tell you what I'll do. I'll take the opportunity to remind you they've got resources posted. If you want to see some of the past, present, and future of Mr. Bill Gates, who on Friday called it quits. Well, that's not like it wasn't planned for quite a long time.
Over a year, right?
His last official day at Microsoft, at least as a full-time guy at the helm driving things. That was Friday, and he's now on to some other things, but we've got sort of our farewell montage of links and resources and stuff for you. datadoctors.com/radio. When we come back from this short news break, which we got you caught up with some stuff, we're going to throw out our Geek Speak of the Week, our Head Whack of the Week, and I think Lewis has some material that he brought that might be important. He wants to talk about if your Mac isn't running so hot, some real quick tips of things you can do to tune it up a bit. So
nice.
Little of everything.
Stick around for all that. Of course, more of your calls and questions. It's the Computer Corner. We got a full half hour left of show, so stay tuned. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. Half an hour of show left, which means plenty of time for you to learn about some of the past of a man who's had a fairly large impact on the world of personal computing, Mr. Bill Gates. We've got resources posted for you, datadoctors.com/radio. And, of course, we've got phone lines open for you, too, 602-277-5827, actually just one. And if you don't take it in the next couple of seconds, it'll be gone, and probably you won't have another chance to jump in. So if you've been trying, now's your time. As promised, it happens at the bottom of the hour, every show on the second hour. Is that confusing? It is. It's our Geek Speak of the Week. Each and every week, Brian, Kevin, Ken, myself, one of us, we bring you a little vernacular from the world of geekdom, from the jerks and nerds and geeks and the guys that talk down to you. We bring you a phrase or a term or sometimes an acronym that helps you understand what they're trying to talk down to you about, so that when they're talking down to you, you can talk back to them.
So later this week, I get to use this against you?
And verbally slap them with. Dude, that was so wrong. How did you even go there?
Oh, come on now.
Weird how your mic isn't working anymore. Wonder how that happened. Go ahead.
All right.
Geek Speak of the Week, Brian.
Geek Speak of the Week
is
Meat Space.
Hey, go ahead. Anytime. Meat Space?
Did he say Meat Space?
That's I think he meant to say
MySpace.
You meant to say MySpace.
No, I didn't.
Meet space?
Meet space.
Like an online meeting place? Like M-E-E-T?
No.
No?
No, M-E-E-T? It's meat. Yeah.
Is it like meatloaf?
Yeah, like I like, yeah, meat. Yeah, steak.
It's kind
of
raunchy.
It is.
Meet space?
It's very, can luckily, I don't write these. I just read them.
Can we talk about what it is on the air?
We can.
Meet space?
Meet space.
I'm scared.
So it's a term that refers to real life or physical world.
Uh-huh.
Okay? The opposite of cyberspace. So instead of MySpace, which is that local meeting place online, it's the meeting place here.
Oh, wouldn't that be MySpace the physical is the word? What did you describe MySpace as? Because I want to get this straight.
I'm not repeating it.
The local meeting space online? Now, this is the place to go and hook up with underage girls for pedophiles.
I wouldn't know. That's what MySpace is. I don't actually have a MySpace page.
And it's a place for bands supposedly to be discovered, right?
Okay.
I don't know what else MySpace could be for. You've been there, right?
I have seen it once or twice, yes.
I still don't get it, and it must be something about, I don't get it. Lewis, can you help?
I thought it was a way to market corporate companies.
Really?
Yes.
And what's Facebook then? I'm confused. What's happening here?
So I've heard that Facebook is the more professional or the snobby version of MySpace.
It's a social gathering network.
Social gathering.
So what's LinkedIn?
I
knew you were going there.
Funny you should ask, Brian.
Yeah.
This week's column in the East Valley Tribune that will be published in the business section on Monday.
Mr. Colburn's column?
Mr. Colburn's column. And it's published in other places, too, but locally right. That's the place that people would recognize it in.
All right.
It's all about what's this whole LinkedIn thing, and mm-hmm. Is it right for me and my business? If you want a sneak preview of that, all you had to do was have been subscribed to our newsletter. You would have already had it in your inbox, but in case you didn't do that, you were remiss. We've got another place for you to find it.
Where would that be?
It's simple. Datadoctors.com. Look in the free help section. It's right there on that front page. And you can go back in time and see all the columns if you just click where it says newspaper columns. It'll show you years and years and years worth of stuff. And they're also searchable. And I'm sure if you went in a few days after it's been indexed, if you Googled it you'd find it that way too. So, you didn't even know you were going to tie into that, did you?
That was interesting. No.
I didn't know you were going to do it either. I am
brilliant. That's all I can say.
Yeah, well.
I'll be the first to tell you.
There could be that.
Maybe the last, but.
Meet space. That's the geek speak.
Not meet. Never mind.
Meet space. Hey, Lewis, for those out there listening that are the Mac users, we don't have this very often, so it's a rare treat. And for those who are just tuning in or have been listening since early on, Lewis is the man who started the, we'll call it the complement to Data Doctors here in town, the Mac version. That means it's the guys that you've heard a couple people call up.
He's not in our shadow.
No. Not okay. In our shadow. Well, here's where I'm going with this. This will turn into a compliment roundabout.
At some point in the near future.
You've heard a few people call in and give pretty big praises to services that they've received at some of our locations around town.
Right.
When it comes to Mac services, if you want a place that treats people that same kind of way, Lewis's places, the Mac Media Shops, that's the kind of places that's where I would go if I had a Mac and had troubles and things. And, well, I'd probably try to figure it myself.
It's the only place that I go.
It's a classy environment.
It is.
There you go.
It actually complements Apple's aesthetically pleasing designs. It really does. Your stores are set up that way and are fantastic.
They're pretty cool, yeah.
They're awesome.
Yeah. Well,
the whole concept was more of a boutique style store.
Yeah.
So a place where you could get help, but also purchase the accessories that you need. And
but see, you were doing it before the Apple stores were Apple stores.
We were.
Yeah. Well, and your stores are really different than the Apple stores. Yours are actually comfortable to be in. It's not that high-pressured sales environment. It's a very...
A little less white? Isn't the Apple store all white?
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely.
It's a little more like a...
It's real warm.
Like
it's
a
nice.
Starbucks kind of feel, where it's, you know, it's a little warmer and
Well, and you don't have to wait in line.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
And the geniuses at your bar are
They're actually
are
geniuses. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Anyway, off of that, I wanted to just basically throw in that Lewis knows what he's talking about, and he's going to give you a couple of quick tips. If you've got a Mac, it's a little sluggish, some things you can do to maybe brighten your day.
Yeah, there's a little segment called Mac Tip of the Week, but basically what we're trying to do is help you out with your sluggish Macintosh. And the biggest reason for the slowdown over time is the amount of overhead increases over time with the computer. This occurs when you install new applications, utilities, and shareware applications.
Wait a minute. Macs aren't perfect? I thought, you know, everybody dogs on Windows and says, well, it just slows down. It's a pig. And Yeah, well, it, usually when people buy a computer, they're pretty impressed with how well it runs, and then over time, it starts to slow way down. Same problem in a Mac world, right?
Well, those background tasks, those other application enhancements, and tchotchkes. That are meant to help your computer's performance, but inevitably causes the add-on startup pileup, having too many cooks in the kitchen, that type of thing.
Hmm. Yeah. See, in our world, it's too many processes, and in your world, it's the same thing. It might just be called something different, like a new one. I didn't know tchotchkes. That's a Mac term, apparently.
I'm in. I'll use it.
So ways to optimize the computer. Well, when in doubt, restart your machine.
Very nice.
Easy enough. That's the same in the Windows world. Yeah. I could do this. Go ahead. What else?
Probably not.
Number two, you've got background processes.
Right.
So you've got a thing called Activity Monitor under Utilities. And you're going to look for items that use lots of RAM or CPU processing power.
Wait, so under Utilities. So in the Windows world, it's Start and then
Control Panel.
13 right. places. But how do we get to Utilities?
Well, we've got a hard drive on the top right of the screen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We double-click on that, go under Applications, then to Utilities, and then a thing called...
You said our Activity Monitor?
Activity Monitor.
So in our world, that's task manager, right? Same thing.
You know, it's funny because I've had my MacBook now. So I bought the original MacBook Pro when it came out, and I haven't had too much of a slowdown, but that's an interesting place so that I can go to monitor because I've never known how to do that in the Apple environment, but I have obviously in the Windows environment. So
in the Windows environment, when people go to that task manager and they see that thing loaded up with 70, 80 processes, and they go, oh my gosh.
So you would just want to turn things on and off and see how the computer feels after.
Right, but they always ask, here's the question, and I'm wondering if it's the same question and therefore the same answer in the Mac world.
Well,
which ones stay and which ones are safe to go?
You know what I found? There really isn't an issue with turning any of those items off as long as when you restart, if you have a problem, you put it back on.
Okay, so it's just as simple as checking a box or turning it on and off, disable, enable, whatever, that kind of thing. And
exactly.
See how it affects after reboot, and if you're still cool but faster, then
Do that, you have to go under your account, which is located in System Preferences.
Right.
So if you go under the Apple, under the top left of the screen, scroll down to System Preferences, you can go into Accounts. Into Accounts there, then you have the choice of actually turning those items on and off.
If you have the Apple and you just were thoroughly confused with all that Lewis said... You have a couple of options, all right? You can go Google how to do this stuff, and it's going to take even more time. You'll be even more confused. Or at some point, you
go
decide,
to Mac Media. Yeah.
You break down and say, okay, I'm going to let somebody else take care of this, and I'm going to go do something else.
Yeah. I'm actually going to post a segment up on the website.
Nice.
Sweet. Well, once you get that posted, if we turn this into some kind of regular deal, then we'll figure out how to make it easy for people who are on our side to go to your side
so
and vice versa.
We can get linked in.
Oh, look at this.
Look at you talking
He's
about LinkedIn.
He's a pro.
I don't think that's how LinkedIn works, but we'll make it work.
We'll make it work, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so thanks for the tips on that. Again, if you missed that or you can't figure out what he's talking about, until we figure out where to put a link, you send an email, and you can do that right through the radio show page, datadoctors.com/radio. If you fire off, hey, when that link gets posted, I want to know about it, put that in your email. We'll make sure to alert you as soon as that happens. Good enough?
Fantastic.
Sounds good to me.
All right, let's see if we can at least find out about Kevin's issue. We may or may not have time to really fully address it. We might have to do that on the other side of the break. But Kevin, welcome to the Computer Corner. How can we help?
Hey, on a quick note, I always say Windows 95 is Mac 84, but that's just a little lighten the load there.
No, you got a basher over there.
No, I'm loving both worlds, talking on a wonderful iPhone, which is not so wonderful, but, it's a great iPod.
Well, you've held the call this long.
I called back twice already, because I got dropped with a full bar signal, so I don't know how that happened. So.
Oh, AT&T.
Yeah. Okay, kind of a two deal question. Software issue. My wife has a Mac G4, the PowerPC chipset. It's not the newer computers. And she's running Photoshop. She basically uses it for design purposes. Not a lot of add-ons, just straight email program, Photoshop, Illustrator. She's got some programs opened up, and we've got enough RAM in there. Mm-hmm. And lately, she's getting either like a pinwheel or just a random weirdness. Like she goes into click on a file name and change it. She can't click on it, can't change it. We've tried, restarting, clearing the parameter RAM, things like that. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes just turning it off for a day or two seems to kind of,
A day or two? That's a quite a rest for any computer, Mac or otherwise.
Which operating system are you using?
It's like 10.4, something like that.
10.4, 11 probably.
Yeah, let me just...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Whatever.
And is that hard drive the original hard drive that came with the computer?
Yes, it is. And here's part of the issue, or not issue, but in the past we had somewhat the same system, and we had the 3-year protection plan, and they took us about a year to figure out what was going on. We had like a bad processor or bad motherboard, so they actually came out and swapped everything after, you know, a year of trying to troubleshoot and rebuilding the hard drive and all that. But now it just kind of, all of a sudden, it just seems to kind of reappear, this kind of a, you know, inconsistently consistent.
Hey, Kevin, let me do this for you. If you don't mind holding through this quick break. I've got to get not only Kevin, but Lewis. I know this is a burning question for you. What's happening with traffic and weather out there on the roadways? And for that, it's again the queen. One final time here on the Computer Corner. It's the queen of traffic and weather. It's Carla Cruz in the KTR Traffic Center. Carla. Welcome to the final segment here on the Computer Corner. We're going to just jump right back into the phones so that we can help out as many of the leftover people as possible. Just a quick note, if we don't get you on the air, stick around after the show. We will get you off the air because we want to give you the one-on-one attention you deserve for hanging on through. Also, if you missed any part of the show, we've got resources posted for you online, datadoctors.com/radio. And of course, as always, we've been recording. The audio archives should make their way up probably Monday or maybe Tuesday at the first, so... With that, we're going to jump back. I think we were talking with Kevin, correct?
Yeah.
And Kevin now has a background friend. And basically, you were going through the process of explaining your machine is intermittently has some real serious performance issues. And Lewis
has
asked a few questions.
Spinning beach ball.
Yeah, the spinning beach ball.
Spinning beach ball, you know, if you want to change a file directly in the hard drive, you click on it and just type. You can't do that sometimes.
I'll give you a couple different options here. Normally, if I look at the spinning beach ball and I see that coming up erratically, and you shut down your computer for a couple days and bring it back up and it seems to work for a little while, sounds to me like the hard drive may be failing. The other thing to look at would be the IDE controller on your logic board. And you do have PCI slots on that card, so you don't have to go out and purchase a new logic board. You can buy an IDE controller card and replace that. And that would bypass the controller on the logic board. That may help as well.
And just for those keeping score at home, the beach ball they're talking about, or the pinwheel, that's the same as your hourglass in Windows. And these symptoms that Kevin has described would lead me to the same kind of advice as far as without having looked at it, just off the top of my head. In the PC world, we'd be talking about the same thing. So these beasts are a lot closer together than we originally thought and a lot of people think.
Great. On a quick note, just with the hardware, I dropped my G4 laptop, which is not a good thing, but now my Wi-Fi antenna or Wi-Fi does not work. Is that something that can be repaired? And is there a Mac shop in the northeast Cave Creek area or Scottsdale?
Before I direct you to a Mac shop, since you're calling in for help, let me see if I can help you out on that. Since you dropped your laptop, a lot of those have AirPort Extreme cards in them. And what you want to do is take the battery out of the computer, and there's a little slot there with a little door that you can pull open, and the card may have popped out. So if you push that card back in, put the door back closed, put the battery back in, and restart, you may get your AirPort antenna back.
So all this with the battery out and everything unplugged before you do that. But
definitely.
Give that a shot first. Also, keep in mind that you're not limited to, even if you have the aftermarket Apple warranty thing, you're not limited to just the Apple stores. You can always go see guys like Lewis out there if you have troubles and you want to get some professionals involved. So.
Yeah, and if you have more questions, give me a call at Mac Media. I'll give you a hand.
Mac Media, where are you guys located?
Lewis has got a couple shops, right? You're over in Arrowhead, and you've got one in Old Town Scottsdale, right?
Yeah. Should I just give him the website?
Sure.
Okay. You're going to go to MacMediaInc.com.
Okay.
Make sure you get that ink in there.
That will have all our contact information.
Excellent. Thanks, Lewis.
No problem.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. We got, now we don't have time to, okay, so Dick and Mark, you guys hang tight. We're going to take you off the air. Again, for those of you who missed any of the things we talked about, we've got the resources, the links, all the information, past shows going back years and years, and of course the audio archives will catch up here shortly, all online, anytime, datadoctors.com/radio. And Lewis, thanks for coming in, helping us out. We got quite a few Mac callers here, so.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and hopefully it was worth your time.
Absolutely. We got to get you down here on a fairly regular basis, perhaps, because it seems like there's enough people out there that have questions and issues that.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly there's some demand for it, and when it comes to the knowledge and skills, that's not my department, so.
Well, I'll be around if you have me.
Excellent. Cool. So we'll do that. Brian, thanks for coming and hanging out.
Anytime.
I know we didn't talk about your world a whole lot, but
it doesn't matter.
Because you're kind of one of those weird PCN Mac guys. And
yep. I was excited to hear Lewis was coming. So.
See? There you go.
Yep.
And you were excited to know that Apple's going to maybe make your world with the new iPhone. So.
Oh, yes.
Thanks for listening. Until next time, don't forget, if you don't need it, don't install it. We'll see you next time.